And we are live and back. And it's a Tuesday night instead of a Wednesday night. And it looks like Chris has frozen. Hey there, Chris, can you hear me? And I'm not sure if Chris can hear me. Oh, goodness. The wonders of the internet. Brought to you by...
But anyway,
come
back and then unfrozen. When he does get back, Kaihouse.
Christopher Kaihouse.
Director of Twisted Film. Twisted Dreams Film.
Twisted Dreams Film Festival? Yeah.
Place in Milwaukee.
Anyway, so what do you want to talk about before he gets back?
Hold on. Back now.
Hey, guys, sorry. I backed out and I came back in.
No, that's okay. It's kind of...
What you got to do?
You know, that kind of is expected some nights with this goofy internet.
Well, yeah, I apologize. I'm on mobile. Like I was telling you before the show... I double booked my show. We have to go down to the ocean and film our TV show, but I'm going to bring you guys along with me.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. So I was saying that you're a director of Twisted Dreams Film Festival.
Yeah.
Plus you have all kinds of other things that you dabble in. You're part of the Racine Paranormal Group. And what else do you have? I mean, I know you go down and film now and then down at Jaker's Bar in Milwaukee. You know, there's an original place. You film Dr. Destruction there.
Show.
Hey.
Princeton Theater, yep. It's on channel 59.3 VPod Television in the Chicagoland area. Or on Roku. If you have Roku, you can catch it anywhere.
And then you do the pop culture. Podcast during the week.
Pop culture podcast every Tuesday, 7 or Thursday, 7 p.m. Central on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yep. Watch
those. We do a lot of different
things. Yeah, those are fun to watch, you know, especially when you get some of those people on there that are like from my past. Like, you know,
yeah, we have a lot of fun on that show. Yeah. We've had you guys on before. We've had you guys on, right?
No.
I can't remember.
Not yet.
Had you guys? Oh, okay.
Not yet.
I'm slacking. I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's all right, man.
Guy, you're pretty
busy. You're busy.
Man.
So there is something I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
I seen, you know, some of the posts that you post come up on my Facebook here. And I was kind of thumbing through it this morning, and I seen you had one up there. You asked a question of something about what's one of the most batshit crazy movies that you ever seen.
Yep.
And I've seen that Tom made a comment, but you said the Serbian film. Have you actually seen that damn thing?
I have a copy of it. Yeah, I ordered on DVD.
Oh my god, dude! That's a I watched what I could stomach of it.
Did you make it to the end? Did you make it to the end?
Nope.
Okay, the end is
that
one,
is
really
one of the up. Most. That's like one of the most disturbing movies I've seen ever.
Yeah, I never.
I'll tell you.
I mean, it's even more. For me, it's even more disturbing than The Clockwork Orange.
That one was pretty disturbing.
If you did not see the end of Serbian film, you haven't seen anything. Messed up. The ending is the creme de la creme of messed up film.
I don't know. The most messed up film I ever watched was during the VHS era. Okay. And if you've ever seen this film, you'll understand why. But it was called Videodrome.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, that movie actually gave me a few nightmares.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Managing video stores back then when I saw
it. I was going to say, yeah, I worked at a video store in the early 90s, and I got my film education every summer working at a video store. I'd bring home a stack of tapes. It was awesome. I was a kid. I didn't have any bills, no kids. I didn't have a wife. I could just watch movies all night.
What was it? Doorstop?
Doorstop Video, yeah. Doorstop. Yeah, Doorstop
Video. We talked about that last time you were on. Yeah. Because I worked at a box office in Madison, and you were in Milwaukee when you did
that. I was in Milwaukee. Yeah, Doorstop was actually based out of Madison. They had most of their stores in Madison. They had one in Milwaukee that I worked at.
Yeah. Yeah, we ended up, know all about Doorstop too. But, yeah. But I worked for a video store, but the thing was, you know, you could take home movies for nothing. So it's like, but that's
I'd come home every night, big stack of movies and video games, and I'd stay up all night watching and then go to work the next
day. Same way.
Yep.
Same thing for years.
Yeah, crazy.
Still the best job I ever had.
That was a fun job. It was. It really was. Especially during that era when video stores were a huge thing. When Doorstop came around, that was a big deal. That was like the biggest one before Blockbuster moved in. That's a bad word in my book. They put me out of business.
Yeah, Blockbuster kind of screwed all the little mom and pop stores.
Yeah, I was a little mom and pop store, and they moved in blocks away from me. So,
yeah, we were doing okay against Blockbuster until Planet Video moved in directly across the street from us. Then we started to hurt, and then eventually Planet Video bought that that Doorstop Video thing.
Yeah, I know Planet Video was trying to become a big player like Blockbuster.
They were, yeah, but they grew too fast. They were paying their executives too much money. They were just hemorrhaging funds, so eventually they sold to Blockbuster. And Vic Staden, the guy that founded that, he would go from area to area. He had a big video chain in Michigan. Then he came over to Wisconsin. He sold that to Blockbuster. Came over to Wisconsin, started another video chain, did the same thing, sold it to Blockbuster. So he was kind of a predator of video stores. He would just put all these video stores out of business and then sell the
Blockbuster. Well, I used to like Doorstop because they used to have the best deals when you wanted to go in and buy movies to add to your collection, you know, buy a video game, you know. They were the best deal and they had the best collections.
Yeah. You know?
They weren't like some of the other video stores around the Madison area, like Video Station and stuff, that didn't carry some of the cult classics. You know, I was into some of the cult classics and some of the hard to find films, and you could find them at Doorstop.
Yep, it was great. I got my film education working at a video store. It was awesome.
Yep, so did I. I worked my way up to actually owning one for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I wish video stores would come back. I really miss videos.
I do, too. I really do.
The communal experience.
Dealing with all those distributors, putting together the standees, getting all the promotional materials, getting the films early. To watch them before everybody else, all those screeners. Yeah. I had a nice collection of screeners for a long time.
Yep. Me here. Me too. Yep. I still have them. I still have all my VHS screeners.
I have a few. I have a few. I have Dead Poets Society. It's one of them.
Yeah, I would keep all the Full Moon screeners, the Full Moon films. I love
Full Moon Video.
Yep.
They're the ones that produce Puppet Masters.
Yep.
Those were really good. I like those.
Good movies.
And then there was a couple of them. What was her name? That one girl that she got her start with him, and I can't remember her name now. But I love the Full Moon Video movies when they came out. They were some of the best ones out there for the sci-fi and horror flicks.
Yep, definitely.
And then excuse me. Hang on, Joe Top.
Anyway, you got to say thank you though for that private tour.
Yeah, heck yeah. We'll do it again.
That was history there. I understand why that place is the way it is. You know, I looked into the history myself, and I got back there too after that day.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was But that film was not what I expected. I got to say that. That film was totally not what I expected. But it was interesting and it was kind of funny. You know, I did laugh.
Yeah. If you're looking for a messed up film, definitely, you know, a Serbian film, I don't think it could be. It's a messed up film.
Yeah, I had to
make it to the ending. I got to say, make it to the ending.
Yeah. Well, I watched that. What was it? Caligula. That was a mess.
Caligula, yep.
You know, and then the one he mentioned, what was that one you mentioned?
The Clockwork Orange.
That one.
That one was pretty screwed up too, but no, that one does not hold a candle to the Serbian film. That is just wow.
It's kind of that one.
Yeah,
I think you can find it on YouTube. I think that's where I found it.
Really?
Maybe.
I was kind of curious, and I went to YouTube. I think I found it.
You might not find a whole lot on YouTube anymore without that their subscription to their live.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, because they've been cracking down on a lot of that. So I've noticed that. Because I used to find there was a movie I used to be able to watch on there, and I can't find it anymore. It's gone.
And are you talking about Billy Jack?
No. I have the Billy Jack collection. I own it. I even have a special owner that's.
Get closer to your mic, Joe.
It was that Rude Awakening film with Cheech Marin and Eric Roberts. It's a stoner
film. Yeah, Rude Awakenings?
Yeah, it's called Rude Awakening.
I haven't heard of that.
It was a stoner film. You know, a bunch of hippie stoners. It started out in the 60s. But it starred Eric Roberts and Cheech Marin.
Interesting.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. So what kind of Halloween films do you guys like to watch every year? I asked that question today, if there's any like must-watch films that you guys have during the Halloween season.
I answered that on there for myself. My favorite was the one that did not fit into the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
Season of the Witch.
Yeah. It's the third one of the Halloween movies. Yeah,
the third one of the Halloween series that doesn't fit in. I was talking.
It has nothing to do with Michael Myers or any of that.
I was talking to somebody. She was telling me about that, or I heard it. She was upset and pissed off because it had nothing to do with Michael Myers. She thought maybe at the end or something, but it wasn't in there. You know, I mean that should have been a standalone film. I've always said that too.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
But there's too many good ones out there that I like. You know, I was a fan of most of them. I just don't like the sequels after they go too far.
Well, the Hellraiser series did all right until they decided to take it to Hellraiser in space.
Yeah, but I only liked that one until like the third one.
Yeah. You know?
And then after that, I didn't like it no more. It's like the Leprechaun. You know, I mean, the Leprechaun 3.
Leprechaun in space, yeah.
When Leprechaun 3 was in Vegas, that was funny as fuck. You know, I love the limericks that Warwick Davis came up with. Or was scripted for him. Those were funny, especially the ones in that Vegas episode. But after the third one, it kind of sucked. You know, it's like the Nightmare on Elm Street. You can only take them so far. Or you know, when you got Freddy versus Jason, come on, give me a break. That's you know. I mean, you can't do that with everything. I mean, people say Alien versus Predator was a big thing, but you can't do that with some of these horror films. How are they going to cross over? That doesn't make sense, you know. Oh, now Freddy's in, or whatever, they're in Brooklyn, New York. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, didn't this start in some small town in the middle of nowhere? How do you get there? You know.
Yep.
Some of it doesn't make sense, or in space, you know, leprechaun in space, or leprechaun in the hood. Come on, you know, Hollywood's got no imagination anymore in my eyes. They wouldn't like me.
You know, we get a lot of remakes and reboots and things like
that. I'd be the most hated movie critic out there. You know, all those remakes. I mean, all right, I don't got nothing against Rob Zombie, but give me a break. You know, you can't do this to these classics. You can't remake the classic. You know,
but remember, you know, whatever they remake these films, remember they don't take the originals away from you. You'll always have those originals. You know,
it's like them, you know, you got the movies out there and it's got the same title, but it's not the same movie. Right. You know. You don't know what you're watching. Cable doesn't get things right because they don't always have the correct description. You know, I'm thinking I'm watching the classic. The next thing I know, it's not.
Right. Because,
you know, you got the actors from Supernatural.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I was really upset with the Ghostbusters remake. You know, I thought that it was sacrilege. I didn't think that. You know,
the one with the women? Actors,
yeah. I was so dead set against it. I watched it. I thought, well, this is... You got to separate it from the original. If you can separate it from the original, not put it in that same continuity, it's an okay film. You know, it's not a bad film. I enjoyed it, but
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you got to be able to separate these remakes from the originals. You know,
well, you also got to think though. A lot of these remakes that they're making, look how far after the original they are. I think a lot of times what they're doing is they're remaking these for the new generations. That,
sure.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
To give them their own, you know, like so they can call the remake their original or their own type of the movie.
Yeah, and it only...
And then, of course, us, the older generation, we see this remakes and there's like, that's junk. What the hell are you doing that for?
Yeah, I guess I'm too much into the classics because some of those actors... Just really nailed the roles and can't replace
them. Yeah, another thing that remakes and reboots do is they introduce a new audience to the original. You know,
right. Look
at Star Wars. Okay, Star Wars has got the original trilogy, they've got their fans. You know, the original trilogy has their own set of fans. The prequel trilogy, that introduced a new generation of Star Wars. So that turned on a new generation.
Yeah, I also like both. I also like all the both.
I love the prequel trilogy. I'm a prequel
trilogy. Yeah, I like the prequel trilogy.
And then the newest ones.
Some of those newest ones I like.
Yeah.
The prequel trilogy has their own fans, and that introduced a whole new generation to Star Wars. I know people that think The Last Jedi is the best Star Wars film ever. That's okay. You know, I didn't like The Last Jedi, but, you know, it brought fans to Star Wars again, and that's exactly what it needed.
Yeah.
Well, I get that. Still.
And then they actually did make a couple... They made a couple of extra movies in there too. You had Rogue One, that was a filler movie. You had Han Solo, that was a filler movie.
Yep, and I love both of those. I love Solo. Solo got such bad reviews.
I know. Why would they give it bad reviews? It was actually a good movie.
It was a fun movie. You know, I've been to the premiere of every single Star Wars film since 1977. Every single one of them has been completely sold out, standing room only. When I went to the premiere of Solo, there was hardly anybody in the theater. It was so sad to see.
Yeah,
but it was fun. It was a really fun movie. I don't understand.
I went to the very first one in 77 as well. And the theater I was in, just to get in, you know, it was a sold out thing. You had to get your tickets in advance, and the line just to get in went around the block.
Yep.
You know,
I remember that.
You know, you had to stand in back up against the wall in some cases.
Yep. Phantom Menace, I remember when the Phantom Menace premiered, I went to that premiere, and that was completely packed. It was standing room only. And
wow. The
reception that film got was not good. Not good at all. But
I'm sorry, but some of these critics, I don't think deserve to be a critic.
I think they have to the originals. You know, they honored the way Lucas pictured those films being done.
Yep.
I think they did a good job on all of those movies. You know? know, but if you ask me what my favorite is, I'm going to go back to one of the classics. Okay.
Yeah. Empire Strikes Back, obviously my favorite Star Wars film. I think that's
everybody's. I guarantee both of you, I experienced Return of the Jedi way different than you would have ever been able to unless you would have been in the same theater at the same time I was. And that's because I lived in California. I was in an old-fashioned theater. So, you know, the way these are set up, kind of like the Orpheus here.
The Orpheus.
Anyway, during the Battle of Endor, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the floor and the screen start shaking because an earthquake hit.
Oh, my God.
Nobody got up and left either. Right, huh? Nobody left either. We all sat through it.
it was
during the Battle of Endor.
No earthquakes here. I mean, the screen shook, but that'd be scary.
Nah, earthquakes are nothing out there. I've been through too many of them.
Open mind, but sometimes they just ask them wrong or something just makes it where it doesn't go right. And that's what I get with those, you know, some of those. They just don't cast them right or they screw something up or they don't follow the original storyline, but it's supposed to be a remake.
Right.
You know, so then they change the story. It's like, come on. It's like, you know, I was reading something earlier today. You know what they're doing? They're taking and they're making a sequel. After the first sequel bombed big time, all right, to that 70s show.
Oh, that 80s show. I remember that.
Remember that? That bombed.
Yep.
Guess what?
Oh, yeah. Netflix, I remember that.
Netflix is coming out with that 90s show. And it's going to star Red and Kitty Foreman, the actual two actors that played Red and Kitty Foreman in there. Huh. And it's going to have, and they're going to end up taking care of or looking after their grandkid, Don and Eric's kid, daughter. I think that it was.
Interesting. I've watched that.
I'm going to give it a try because it's going to be all the same writers that was in that 70s show.
But it might actually be good.
And they're going to, some of the cast like that played Donna and Eric and a couple others are going to actually make some appearances.
That'd be fun.
So it's kind of good. I could watch that, yeah. It's going to be on Netflix, apparently. I don't know when.
I can definitely get behind that.
I just saw it on Yahoo recently.
So I guess we got talking more about movies now, huh?
Yeah, well, he's that type of guy, though, with that Twisted Dreams film festival.
No, that's all right. Chris, I'm just kind of wondering here. What was your, before you got to see it, what was your take on the newest Star Trek that J.J. Abrams was actually involved in
you know,
making.
When you first
heard of it, before you seen it, what was your thought on that?
I was okay with it. I like J.J. Abrams. I think that he gets science fiction. So I was cautiously optimistic about it.
I was just kind of wondering because I actually wasn't certain of it because he was the one behind the show Lost,
yep.
And I actually watched. Hang on. I watched Lost. I watched it from the very first episode all the way through. I felt it kind of trailed off and got dull at the end. And it just didn't, and some of it didn't actually make complete sense like it should have.
Right.
So, and then he come out with Cloverfield. Now, Cloverfield, I get the aspect of that, but to me, it didn't have the explanation of what that creature actually was. And I think a lot of the audience felt the same way too, that they just didn't get the full explanation of exactly what it was.
Right.
But he made up for that, because then he came out with 10 Cloverfield Lane. And at the end of that, it explained a little bit more. And then he worked with Netflix and came out with The Cloverfield Paradox. And to really understand it, you got to watch all three movies. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a full, complete understanding of it. And then that was after he got involved with making the Star Trek movies. And I think he did an awesome, absolute awesome job and gave true homage to Gene Roddenberry and the original cast of Star Trek.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And he's a passionate filmmaker. I've got a friend that was actually in that first Star Trek, and he said that even with the bit actors, you know, the background characters, JJ was always on set directing those bit characters, or that's usually a second character. But he was really hands-on with everything.
Oh. I mean, all I know is that new Kirk was older than the old Kirk in the 70s. Shatner was going to be.
Well, that was Chris Pine that was the new Kirk.
Same style over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, but this Chris Pine, he did a great job playing Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And the last I heard, the whole cast and crew are going to be back for another one.
It's lost Chekhov.
Yeah. It's just not Chekhov. Obviously, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately,
they lost Chekhov. And that guy nailed the old actors. I mean,
he was perfect for it.
He was perfect for that role.
And Simon Pegg, I believe it was Simon Pegg, was Scotty, wasn't he?
Yep. Yeah, he was Scotty.
Yeah. And he did an awesome job as Scotty in that one, too.
They really did a good job casting it.
Yeah, they did. They did a pretty damn good job of casting it. But when was the last time you heard that they were going to be coming back for a fourth one?
That was pretty recently. That was in, I think, Variety, that Pine and Quinto and everybody was on board for another one.
Awesome. I'm actually hoping, because I really did enjoy all three of them. Mm-hmm. I have them. I occasionally, you know, I'll pop them in and watch them again, because I really did like them.
Yep. Yeah, they were good movies. I liked them.
What's wrong, Joe?
I think I'm only missing one of those.
What, the new ones or the original ones?
New one.
See,
the original ones.
I'm not certain did they number them as part of the original series, or did they number them separately from them?
I think they're all.
Because
I don't know,
they did the crossover. They did the full crossover with Leonard Nimoy coming in as the original Spock.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with the newer Star Trek movies, they're a different timeline though.
Yeah, well, I think that was the intent. I think the intent was for them to make a different timeline so that they can make
the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah, the Kelvin timeline. So. I'm pretty sure that was a full intent to do, but it's just I'm not sure if they actually kept them as part of the original series or if they was going to make an entire new series out of them.
I think they're just considered a continuation.
Yeah.
And don't count Shatner out for being in another Star Trek film. I would not be surprised if he was in a fourth.
Who?
Shatner.
Shatner? Yeah.
You get lost in space.
I wouldn't count him out because
he's making that trip to space, you know, on that billionaire's thing.
Bezos and Jeff Bezos rocket. He's going to be the oldest man to ever be launched to space. Because I think he's like in his 90s or he's 90 or something like that.
Yeah, and he's channeling.
He's up there. He's in his 80s.
Yeah, I think he's 90.
I
like you said, I wouldn't count him out being in another Star Trek movie.
Well, because Generations.
Because when they started, Generations, he was a guest captain, or actually he was admiral on the Enterprise C. Mm-hmm. Or no, B. It was the Enterprise B. And that was the first time you got to see the Enterprise B.
And then he was also in the movie with the Generation movie.
Well, yeah, that was the movie. Yeah. It started out where it was maiden voyage of the Enterprise B, and they encountered that ribbon in space, that ribbon of energy in space. And it kind of took out the front of the deflector's screen area of the that Enterprise, and that's where he was.
It had McDowell. Mm-hmm. That also had McDowell in it, or whatever.
Yep.
The guy
from Rodney McDowell.
The one from Clockwork Orange.
Malcolm McDowell.
Or Malcolm, sorry. Yes. Thank you, Chris.
From Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. Film. Yep. He was from Clockwork Orange. That was a very young Malcolm McDowell. That was like one of his first ones he did.
Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of weird movies. There's another weird one called Cat People. That was really
What's it called?
Cat People.
Cat People.
Cat People. Oh, yeah, Cat People.
There's like a brother and sister or something. If they had sex or something like that, they turned into cats, and then they had to kill and turn back into a human. They turned into Black Panthers.
Yep, I remember that.
It was like a curse or something.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I don't know. But this time of year, we've got different types of movies to watch.
Yeah, it's too bad my wife doesn't like those movies.
Oh, there you go. My wife doesn't like horror movies. Not a fan.
Well, I love them, man. I mean, when I first watched Friday the 13th for the first time, my dad's like, oh, you want to go to camp with Soleil? Camp? And it's like, sure. Had the van all packed up, and he's just started laughing. I just wanted to see how far you'd go.
There you go.
We didn't even pull out of the driveway. It's like, son of a bitch. You know, I was ready to go back then. And I was like,
yeah.
So it looks like we're getting ready to take a ride with Chris here.
We am, yeah. Like I told these guys, I double booked myself. I got to go down to Kenosha to film a TV show, but we're going to a haunted manor with an actual haunted bus. Maybe I can give you guys a tour of that haunted bus.
Maybe.
So this is he's meeting up with Tom, I believe. Tom Klein, right?
Yeah, Tom will be there. Molly will be there.
Yeah.
So,
I know things.
I want to get a hold of Tom and Molly. I've been wanting to talk to Tom and Molly and find out how things are going with their house.
I talk to Tom a lot. He doesn't mention his house to me.
Yeah, that's not a good story. Well, they got some issues there.
Oh, yeah, we were in there. We were in there filming. Actually, some of it's up on our YouTube channel.
We need to go back.
Private.
I think we need to go back. Honestly.
Yeah.
And I think we're talking about going back with you and doing an investigation again with them there.
For sure, yeah. Anytime. I'm down anytime you guys want to go.
On my bucket list yet too.
What's that, Joe?
There's a lot of places on my bucket list though.
Right.
Yeah, I want to get to that axe murder house out there in Iowa that we didn't make it with Dale because they had a full crew that day.
Yeah, it was fully booked.
So it was fully booked that day.
Yeah, I've been down there. It's an interesting place. When we were down there, there was a massive thunderstorm that kind of added to the...
Yeah, those thunderstorms in Iowa compared to the ones in Wisconsin are a whole different animal. Man,
they're kind of scary.
Oh no, I love them. Man, that's my. I went down. I dated somebody for a short time that lived in Centerville, Iowa. All right, and I was still living in Madison. It was like came up to see Rhythm and Booms for the first time in big fireworks display, right? It got rained out, so it was the next day. So I took her back home. And on the way back home, they had these massive thunderstorms hit in Iowa. You know, we were cruising down the Highway 80, and oh my God, the colors in the sky were all kinds of different colors. Here, it's just one color, same color all the time.
Yeah.
Down there, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but you get all that orange, purple, and all these different colors when the lightning lights up the sky. Mm-hmm. It's cool as hell down.
It is, yeah. That's the kind of storm that we had when we were there. It was a bad storm. So, and it, you know, it kind of tainted all the evidence that we were recording about it. It was cool.
I wish I was doing this back then. I would have had a body cam on me or a camera, and I would have been filming that mm-hmm. footage. Of that storm, something I've never seen, and I sit here and I like watching storms. You know? I would have been one of them. If I would have known when I was a kid, if there was such a thing as storm chasers, I would have been. You know, because I used to stand out. They didn't bother me. Tornado sirens going off. Tornadoes.
Spots all over.
I'm outside looking in the sky, trying to see if I can see it.
Yep.
Where's it at? Where'd they say it's at? You know, everybody else down under, you know, in the garage, under the underground, and I'm standing outside the garage yelling in through the door. Where'd they say it was at? I'm looking. I don't see it.
Yep.
You know.
That's pretty much all of us, I think.
You know, or me and my dad. Well, my dad got me hooked on that. That was one thing my old man got me hooked on, you know.
It doesn't scare me. None of that scares me.
No.
I mean, we used to go out and survey the damage of the storm afterwards, mm-hmm. too. You know, I mean, when those winds, it wasn't even tornadoes. They didn't crack it up to any tornado touching down, but we had 100-mile-an-hour winds through Madison when, you know, it took out power lines, all kinds of shit, right? Bent the flagpole completely in half in front of the railback building. The plant, the actual packaging plant. Because I worked there as head of security there, as the on-site supervisor. And oh man, it's major destruction.
I believe it. I know when the movie Twister came out, that really sparked a lot of interest in storm chasing. A lot of people picked up that hobby. So now there's
This was before the Twister movie actually. One of my favorite movies.
You know,
too.
Now it's so easy to do storm chasing. You got all this radar and your phone and iPads and it's fun.
You can buy a complete weather station for about $120-$130 from Amazon, and you just hook it up outside your window and get all the readings sent right to your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or your laptop.
My kids are deathly afraid of tornadoes. Deathly afraid of tornadoes. If there was like a massive thunderstorm, we heard tornado sirens earlier in the summer. There's some really bad storms that hit us from Milwaukee. My kids are freaking out.
We had some sirens go off earlier this year too.
Yeah.
Up here.
Yeah, I think I'm glad that I don't have that flight response anymore.
The wife don't like those storms.
I love bad storms. Scared,
and I'm sitting there walking out onto the porch looking, you know, trying to just stay dry, or I'll walk out to the driveway because we've got one of those overhangs over the driveway. So you know,
carport.
So I walk out under that, just looking up in the sky, you know, watching all the lightning happening and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Like sitting there, I'm crazy, you know. Yeah, okay. Crazy. Straight jacket just hasn't arrived yet. Wait for it.
You know, honestly, Chris, I would think that sometimes in places that are like known to be very, very haunted like that, that you might get more activity with the thunderstorms.
Yeah, that's actually a theory that goes around. I've got an ozone generator that I use sometimes.
creates that kind of atmosphere that happens before a thunderstorm, you know, that kind of energy in the air.
Right.
So yeah, that's a theory that kind of atmosphere gives energy to the paranormal.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking too, because whenever you get these thunderstorms and stuff, you get that static and that buildup of energy. And, you know, whenever the spirits do manifest, they like to pull whatever energy they can. That's why you get your cold spots. That's why you got batteries going dead, you know, stuff like that. So if you've got a thunderstorm that is becoming active, you got more energy in the air. So I would almost assume that there would be more activity, or at least a potential for more activity at that point.
Right.
But then again, with the noise that the thunder makes and everything, I can see where the contamination would come in as well.
Yep, I agree. You know, like I said, I've got that. It's actually a negative ion generator, and it's a generator that creates the atmosphere, like right before and after a thunderstorm hits. You know, it's got that smell too. It's kind of a cool machine. But yeah, it's a theory that it feeds the paranormal, it gives them energy. So it's definitely something I think I would believe in.
So how long is your drive to get to where you gotta go?
It's probably about 30 minutes. Like 25 minutes. Depends on how fast the wife is driving. She seems to be doing about the speed limit right now. So sometimes we get there in 20 minutes.
That is the personal chauffeur for the night.
Yeah.
So
I know how that goes. I got my personal chauffeur wherever I go. I don't drive.
Nice. Yeah, I can't complain.
I try not to.
She's okay. I keep
road rage gets to me, and I turn into something.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I understand that.
I drove cab for 4 years in Madison, and I can tell you some stories.
I don't think I could do that.
I drive a street truck.
Well, that's how I met him. You know, my first day there, I pulled the practical joke, and he got blamed for it until I walked in after being on the road for a while.
I'm an equal opportunist picker. Let's pick on everybody.
You know, I put a fake parking ticket on my brother's car, and my brother's like 6'2", 250 pounds, full of muscle, like to push his weight around, you know. He goes around blaming everybody for this parking ticket that he found on his car. And he gets to Mark. Mark must have laughed about it or grinned or did something, and Dwayne just immediately assumed that it was Mark that did it and kept insisting that he did it. Mark's like, I didn't do it. You know, and
okay.
I didn't do it. I didn't fucking do it. You know. And this went on for a while until I walked in and Dwayne realized, oh yeah, I started my first day working there. I'm the one that did it. So, and then I think Mark said something to me after that, because he didn't know me then, but then he said something to me because he got blamed for my
joke. Oh well.
But it was
funny. I got blamed for a lot of stuff. I never admitted to anything, and I never denied it either.
Yeah, but we also pulled one of the biggest practical jokes of a wedding. At a wedding.
And that was Dwayne's wedding.
At Dwayne's wedding, and nobody's ever gotten us back from that.
Nope.
That was a well-planned practical joke, too.
Yep. And it involved four people.
A lot of people. No. If you add up all the people we handed out keys to, it involved a lot of people.
There was four of us that instigated it. Okay. And I was the one that was given the task of getting all the damn keys.
Yeah.
I got the idea from a different
wedding that I was at before that.
I got like 100 keys or something like that. All of them the same
they kind of look like apartment keys.
And they look like the key to the front door or to a door lock or whatever on an apartment door. Yeah.
We handed them out to all the women that showed up. As they were coming into the church to watch the wedding, telling them that you'll understand what these keys are for at the reception. We kept them in the dark, even, you know, so nobody knew what the keys were for when we handed them. One person decided to take a couple handfuls and put them in his pocket. Okay. Now, Mark, at the reception, we get all these keys handed out. They're all gone. Mark gets up at the reception and makes an announcement.
I got to make the announcement because Joe still had his stage fright at that time.
I still got stage fright.
We couldn't depend on him.
But anyway,
go ahead. I got up, made an announcement. The announcement I told them all is like, you know, now that Dwayne's married, and him and Kara are going to be moving in, you know, into their own place and everything. But now we need all those keys back so we can get the deposit back. I just need you all to go and take the keys up and drop them with Dwayne.
Now, all these women, grandmas, aunts, cousins, friends and family, whatever, all these women are dropping keys in front of my brother. At the reception table, you know, buddy party table there, and he's sitting there just turning red as an apple. More keys, because these women are saying things like, "Oh, I'm sorry, it had to end. Oh, it's too bad, it's over. Are you sure I can't keep this for one last time? You know, a souvenir, you know, stuff like that." They were just going along with it. We didn't tell anybody what the keys were for. All of a sudden. I've got this all on video. I, to this day, I still have the video.
That's a good one.
So all of a sudden, Woody, a friend of ours, who happened at the time...
He's been a really good friend of all of us.
He happened to look a lot like Kid Rock at the time. Okay. He's the one that had a couple of handfuls of keys. He walks up behind my brother... takes the keys out of his pocket, reaches around him, drops them in front of him, and then he plants a kiss right on Dwayne's lips. Dwayne's bride just about fell out of her chair, pissing her pants. To this day, we haven't got back from that joke. Nobody's gotten us back for that one
either.
Nope. That's another good one. The keys, that's a good one, though. I'll have to remember that.
Somebody's asking if you're getting my text.
You're getting what?
Dale wants to know if you're getting his text.
I am. Yeah, I got your. That's Doc. I got your text. We're good. Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah, that was. I saw that at a wedding about 3-4 months before that. That nobody at that church, nobody at my brother's wedding would have seen. Okay, and so I ended up telling Mark about it. Mark goes and gets all those keys from a hardware store. Man, it was a well planned prank. And we even got Dwayne drunk that day too, didn't we?
Yeah, actually, we took him out and got him drunk
before he got married, because the church was right across the street from the Ohio.
Yep.
If I remember right.
Okay.
So we got him drunk before he even said his vows. We figured he might need an excuse or maybe an alibi to get out of it later. We were hoping.
No.
But I'll be nice. Yeah, I know.
Be nice, too.
That's going to be one of the stories off the air. But yeah, it's just,
so when are you guys coming back out? When are you guys coming back out to Milwaukee? We'll take a tour at Shakers.
Oh man, I'd love to. I don't know what we have tonight.
We'd have to figure out a weekend that we could do it.
Yeah, he's only available on weekends. Yeah.
Okay.
He works. Wife works.
Friday night, you know, I get done. I can get done around 2 o'clock on a Friday, so that give me enough time to get ready to head over there on a Friday night. So, you know, Friday, Saturday night, something like that.
And he can't do Sundays because he turns into a pumpkin because he has to go to bed too
early. Well, no. I can do Sunday afternoons. I don't
can't do Sunday nights though.
Not late night.
You gotta be in bed by 8 o'clock.
I have to be at work by 5:30 now on Monday mornings, not 3 o'clock. I used to have to start at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday mornings. And
that's really early. It's an early day, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm 45 minutes away from where I work.
Jeez.
So I'd have to be up at 1:30 on Monday morning just to be able to be out the door by 2 o'clock to make sure I have to work by 3.
Right.
So yeah. So that was kind of rough on me. So
I can imagine, yeah.
And now I changed jobs, and I'm actually making more money than I did at the other place, plus I'm guaranteed my hours instead of having to worry if I'm getting them or not. Hey, Tom.
There
you go. There's Mr. Klein.
No, I hate you. You didn't ask me to go with. Man, if I would have known you were going to get that, doing that, I'd have wanted to go with, man. You should have invited me, Tom. I don't like you no more. You're not my friend.
That's all right. You're still my friend.
He sent me a private message, and he knows what I'm talking about. But they went to Illinois.
Yeah. I kind of know. Yeah. I can put two and two together.
Yeah. And does it add up to 4?
No, it usually adds up to 8.
Is it?
Oh, Lord.
We won't comment on it. Of course, I won't comment on it.
It's an algebraic equation.
Well, you could have taken me with you.
Well, yeah.
Tom is actually meeting me down there, so you guys can see Tom and Molly. If they get there, Tom and Molly, you guys should be on your way. Right?
I just saw him not too long ago. I don't want to see him again. I just saw him not too long ago. What day was that I saw you? That was the same time.
I want to see them. I want to meet up with them. I got something for them.
You know, if I can't have fun with somebody I consider my friend, you just be quiet.
He said he's on their way. He can't read it there.
30 minutes away. I guess you're going to be waiting a little while for us for them to show up. They're running late. Watch Tom blame Molly. Don't fall for it. If he blames Molly, it's his fault.
Yeah.
He actually did it.
That's
all right.
Pretty much.
We're not going to start filming until a little bit later. So
we got his number figured out.
I went shopping. What are you doing?
My new job that I have now, I'm down in Milwaukee every Tuesday.
Okay.
So I get down there around between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm there till about 12, 1 o'clock, and then I'm back. Then I come back up to Madison. Just depends on how many deliveries I got to drop.
I gotta make the social trip now.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot to do out here.
Well, I need to go. I need to. It's been a while, so I need to make plans to take my daughter, her future husband, out for breakfast or something.
There you go.
So I need to go with her.
So your daughter and future son-in-law, you mean?
Yeah. Son-in-law, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to get together with them. Last time, that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
did
you pick the same place your brother picked? than IHOP. And he's IHOP. In Middleton.
Nothing wrong with IHOP. I like IHOP.
Well, I got nothing wrong with IHOP.
No, IHOP's good.
Breakfast, that's my favorite food group. I love breakfast.
I don't know. I've got this strange thing now where I like the Belgian waffles.
Ooh, I made some mini ones.
Did what?
Little mini Belgian waffles.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I like the Belgian waffles.
You like what you like.
Yeah. Like, oh, when it comes to breakfast food, I'm not that picky. I'm picky about just about everything else, but when it comes to breakfast food, I'm not that picky.
No, my favorite combination is getting a corned beef hash skillet where the hash is on top of the hash browns with the eggs scrambled on top of that.
Oh, I like.
What? I can't hear you. You gotta get
close
to that mic.
Hungry, man. Now you're getting me hungry. I haven't eaten yet today. Nobody's reminded me.
Well, I didn't eat dinner when I came in yet, so.
I haven't eaten all day.
Not my fault.
I'd say it was. It's a problem. I don't get reminded to eat. I don't think about it because I don't get hungry.
Yeah, he doesn't get an appetite until he's got that. Until he has his good.
Yeah, but sometimes that doesn't even help give me an appetite. So it doesn't always work. It just takes away the pain, and muscle spasms, and you know some of the other stuff. But it doesn't really help with hunger. The chemotherapy I had to go through and the radiation treatment basically destroyed my stomach. But I wake up with constant morning sickness or nausea in the morning. And then it's constant pain and stuff in my legs and my arms and joints because of all the stuff I went through. So then you take and give all the prescription pills that they want to give me and keep me on, I would have been spending about 90% of my days in bed sleep.
Sure.
In a pill in those moments. I don't do that. You know, I very rarely take pain pills unless it's really bad, and it's got to be pretty bad because I've got a pretty high tolerance after what I've been through. I've got a high tolerance to pain.
Yeah. Well, I've actually seen him on the pills they used to give him, and I pick him up off the floor after him. So, I would rather see him using the other stuff than putting those pills in his body because
yeah,
I see what they can do.
I function this way.
I know.
Yeah. I function this way, and right now, during what we do, I have a blast. We have great guests like Chris on. We talk about paranormal stuff.
Well, this time around, I think we talked more about movies than current.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's
horror
the
movies.
Time of year, and it was right on the, you know. Hey,
it is
right
that time of year.
Man, Halloween is much fun, man. Remember when we used to have some of the best haunted houses in Madison?
We put together one of the best haunted houses in our neighborhood, people would literally ask us year round.
Could be at a mall or someplace in some store somewhere, and some kid approaches, "Hey, you guys having that haunted house this year?" You know. And it was strange because we only had it up for 24 hours. It was up and gone in 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Every single year, because we didn't want to give away our secrets, and we added every year.
Yeah, we put it up and take it down after everybody was done.
Yep. We'd stay up late.
What was your secret?
Back down, but we had all the special effects, and we were all made up in characters and makeup, and oh, my God. Mark and I scared the hell out of some mom one day. We thought she probably pissed her pants. And we didn't really do nothing but really stand up. all we did was stand up. We were sitting there like the Grim Reapers and the Sickles, and we were facing each other.
And that was my costume anyway.
As Kid walked by, we stood up, and she freaked. She thought we weren't real. She thought we were just statues. So Mom freaked, who was standing at the sidewalk. It didn't even faze the kid much. Kind of jumped and was like, oh, you know. But Mom, she freaked out. All Mark and I could do was laugh that day. It was funny as shit. But we had fun because we had one of the best haunted houses where we'd get approached when we weren't even close to home. People would recognize it.
Nice.
We did that. And we only did it every year. That was the secret. We put it up the day of Halloween. We put it up. We had it all set up. We had it all planned out so that we knew exactly what went where and how it was going to get set up. The last thing we did is everybody got into costume. And then we take it down after we thought nobody was coming around anymore. We'd take it all down and put it away. That way nobody could see anything or inspect any of our little tricks or secrets of how we did what we did. Fog machines, we had it all. And we'd add to it every year because we'd wait until those Halloween superstores that would pop up would be putting up their big discounts after Halloween was over with. Then we go in and hit those stores and buy for next year, you know, just add to our collection. We had some of it was handmade.
Like a maze. Yeah.
Some of it was all handmade too. Like the that giant, what was that thing? It was, the thing that they made that chops off the head.
The guillotine.
Yeah, we made our own guillotine. Handmade.
I made my own scythe for my Grim Reaper costume.
Yeah, we did a haunted house. My friends and I did a haunted house in my friend's garage when we were kids. But they got shut down by the police. Operating an illegal business. So.
What?
Short-lived, yeah. And we got shut down by the police.
Were you charging people to go in?
Like 50 cents.
Oh, well, so that's probably why.
That's probably why then.
You never got bothered in Madison.
No. In fact, I think the cops actually talked to us about it once. And
yeah,
I think they were asking if we were going to do it again or if we do it every year, and kids it would they like to brought it to or some shit like that. I think it was,
we actually make adults cry when they go through there.
Oh man, we had some demented minds.
We set up it's just basically it was a maze, and I had it set up to where we could. There was little slit areas where we could get through. I think my favorite was
my brother and Woody that would do this. And
yeah,
four of us together, we had some demented minds.
And then Kara and Gina would work the door.
We turned the front yard into a cemetery. Made the homemade tombstones.
Yep. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But my favorite one was when that one year I set it up to where when they came in, it was a hall. It was like a one way going down. When you got to the back wall, you had to turn to go the other way. But the way I had it set is there was a mirror set in there, and it had a strobe light above it, so you couldn't see that mirror when you were coming down through there. So basically, they were spooking themselves when they get to the mirror.
Well, that was the group. We had the maze in the garage.
Yep.
I had the maze in the garage. My other brother came to help us that year, too. He was there to help us right now.
We set up a maze in a garage, too.
Yeah, I loved it. You know, Halloween for me, it got more fun when I became an adult.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I got to be on the end of scaring the kids as they came to my front door. So, you know, I'm not kidding you. I've had so much fun when we did that haunted house for what, like 5 years?
Before I think we did it for 5 years.
Before Dwayne gave up on it?
Yeah, we did it once at my house. I had a big backyard. I actually had a screened-in back porch. So we ran it through the porch out into the yard. All through the yard and ended up back up and out.
I've been wanting to do it out here, but I don't think you'd get a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, you'd have to get some permission for it out there, though.
Oh, I wouldn't have to. Remember, my wife's on the board of directors.
Yeah.
We've got pull. We've got pull in this community. I know most of my neighbors. I don't think anybody'd have a problem with it. You know, the nice thing about it is we got the carport plus the garage if it needs out.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's the first time I've owned a house. But I've owned it for 5 years. We've owned it for 5 years. We've lived here for 5 years, almost six. And we've never really taken it that far. Talked about it, just haven't done it. But it was my favorite time of year. We don't get any trick-or-treaters out here either. It's sad.
No. Yeah,
except for my grandkids. I get my grandkids. They come over. That's it. They come over to see grandpa and grandma. And candy from us. That's about all we get candy for. We haven't got kids here yet. I'm from Watertown.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking. Mark's in Fort. Fort Atkinson.
Yeah. I'm in Fort Atkinson.
But we used to both be in Madison. We were doing the hunt out of Madison on the side. And we were getting people from all over Madison. Some of them were showing up. Oh, I live in Middleton, or I live in Farland, or I live in Stoughton, Oregon. And I heard about this and had to go check it out. And we never advertised it, really. It was just word of mouth that got out, got us noticed. Yeah. But I guess that's what happens when you get four demented minds together to make a haunted house. It's going to get some attention. You're pretty creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We're almost at the manor. We're gonna pull
so what is this manor?
It's Dr. Destruction's Haunted Manor. Jerry Smith.
Yeah, but isn't it an actual haunted, supposedly haunted place?
It's got a haunted bus. It's a real haunted bus. Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid corn maze / haunted attraction.
Well, doesn't the manor have a name?
Dr. Destruction's Haunted Manor.
Now you're just being funny. There's a true name to the manor.
But no, that's it. That's it.
I believe it. Not.
I'll let the doc explain it to you.
Well, it's just that, you know, it's like these manors from way back when, they have an original name that's as old as the manor.
Right. Yeah, there was at the State Fair, they used to have a haunted house back in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, 60s. Haunted Lavin Manor.
And there is, in the Milwaukee area, there is a couple of famous actual manors that are haunted.
Oh, yeah. There's Brumder Manor.
That's what I was getting to. Let's see if it was one of those.
Ooh. Beautiful October evening.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
Perfect weather. I'll take this over a hot summer night. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's been in the 80s. Oh, that doesn't happen. We're in California. When's the last time you remember it being 80-something in Wisconsin?
Well, right now it says 62 degrees here.
I know that, but the highs, during the day highs, earlier in the week or last week were in the 80s.
Yeah.
We're like low 80s, 81, 82, something like that. You know, and that doesn't happen too often in Wisconsin.
No, I think we got Indian summer. A couple of warm days. Hopefully they're over. I'm done with 80-degree weather for the year.
Yeah. when you get this other thing going on, you know, the winter ends up being out. That's when you get those blizzards that, that bring in, you know, a couple of feet of snow 24 hours. Shut schools down and shut cities down. So are you filming Dr. Destruction here tonight, or are you filming something else here?
No, we're going to film a couple episodes of Crimson Theater. Well, we were going to film yesterday, but that was, you got
rained out, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that. Tom talks too much sometimes.
Tom talks too much?
No. No, I talk to Tom.
Tom's okay. Tom and Molly, those kids are okay.
I like Tom.
Yeah. I like the people around.
Well, they shit. When we met, we barely knew Tom and Molly. We went to that thing. What was that? That Wisconsin Podcast Festival for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he gives us the VIP passes.
Yep. He gave us a couple of VIP passes.
We just had the normal general admission thing tickets, and he turns around and's like, no, here, take the VIP passes.
Yeah.
So he upgraded us to VIP, you know, and it's like, oh, that's...
Without us asking.
You know, I didn't ask for it.
That's what I said, without us asking.
He just did it.
Yeah, they're okay. They're good kids.
Molly told us a lot about, gave us a lot of great tips from Molly from podcasting part of it, you know, the technical side of everything. We got all our tips and websites to go to and stuff. All that came from Molly, picking Molly's brain, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have gotten out there as fast as we did, as good as we did. You know, because she told us to use Audio Boom to get it out there, and now we're on Amazon Music and all those other places to find our podcast. You know.
Damn,
all your... So she gave us so many awesome tips. It wasn't funny.
Okay, yeah, no problem. It is damp out.
Yes.
It's damp and chilly.
I can believe it. Damp here too. You're close to the lake. You're close to
you guys,
down there.
I think you guys check out the manor.
We did our first crossover with Off the Rails too.
Yep. Actually, give me just a minute. I gotta use the restroom.
Yeah, he's an old man. He's got the drinking problem.
Okay.
It almost looks like prison fencing at some point.
We flip it around.
Got the barbed wire fence above it. Wow, that's like the entrance to the corn maze, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, see, I couldn't do that. You know the thing that would be going through my mind right now? Children of the Corn. You know, that'd be the first thing that comes to mind, Children of the Corn, man.
This is kind of the outside of the front part.
Oh, wow. Wow, those look like some really cool old buildings. I could get a lot of ideas for filming around that, something like that.
For sure, yeah.
You know, they look like something like out of the old West days. Do that in black and white, and you can get some cool footage on that.
Yep. This is actually our set where we film Crimson Theater. I don't want to take you too far in because I don't want to spoil anything for you.
Yeah, I've seen your theater. I've watched the show before once or twice.
Oh, this is a set. This is the library set.
Yeah. That is cool. Tom says you'll be there in 10 minutes.
All right.
Yeah, we did. See, I love to do that kind of stuff. I've always wanted to do that kind of stuff. When I got to high school, they wouldn't let me get into those classes that I wanted to take because they said they were full. I transferred into Oregon and then went to Follett and Addison. That's some pretty neat courses that I wanted to take.
Okay.
See, I was already like an AV student, you know, when I was in middle school, I was an AV student. So if they wanted somebody, you know, had to have somebody set up a film projector, I'd be the person to call on.
Sorry about that. I had to use a can, and of course, Lisa wanted to talk to me real quick.
So I always had that interest, but the problem I'm having is learning how to use some of that editing software and getting some cool editing and figuring out how to do it right.
Right.
You know, I'm sitting on some Beast of Prey Road footage that I'd like to turn into like a mini movie or documentary.
Sure, yeah.
I'm not sure how to do it yet.
Right.
You know, and this is from, I mean, the 8 hours, there's like 8 hours of footage where we're filming Lee showing us all the different evidence that he's collected.
Yeah, we interviewed Lee. That first time we met him, we interviewed him,
like 8 hours.
And then we went and sat in his barn with him and went through a bunch of the pictures and everything else too. So we got almost, I think it's like 8-9 hours of video of that day.
And then but that same day we also took a tour.
I was adding that in, Joe. Okay. So we've got like 8 or 9 hours total of the interview with him, the tour of his property and all that.
Pictures he gave us.
And then the second time we went, met up with Dale Kaczmarek, and we were out there, at night doing an investigation then, and probably had another, close to 8 hours of
8 hours. Yeah, we got there at dusk. Got there between 6 and 7.
And I think it was like 3 in the morning when we
got chased out of there by the fog at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that fog rolled in so fast and so thick, it was unbelievable.
And then California, I would have expected it to roll in that quick, but not here.
No, I've never seen it roll in that quick. As long as I've lived in Wisconsin, I've never seen it.
It was weird,
we had
man.
To pack our equipment, so we packed up real quick. So by the time we got packed up and everything to the car, it couldn't have taken more than 5 minutes, maybe 10 tops, and the fog was gone.
Yeah, it had dissipated out.
It was like it was trying to chase us out of there.
It was weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I've seen fog rolling pretty quickly.
Yeah, but this was just too strange. Like it was trying to push us out. It wanted us because it was like maybe a few hours, two, three hours before that, Mark was walking out into the hayfield part of it. Meanwhile, you can hear all of this on some of the audio footage and the video footage. You can hear the audio of this. You hear Dale and I talking about a bipedal figure we caught on thermal, Dale caught on thermal in the cornfield. And you'll hear us saying that we couldn't get it anymore and we think that it followed Mark. All right? When Mark got back from his walk, and see, Mark couldn't hear us talking about this because he was out of earshot. Okay? We weren't talking that loud. So there's no way he heard us. He was way down there, and when he got back, the first thing he said to us, I think something was following me through the cornfield. But we had a bipedal figure in the cornfield on the thermal.
And I've got separate audio.
Dale and I talking about it.
I've got separate audio of me actually talking to it, saying that I know it's there. Might as well come out.
Just mark something following.
I was down quite a ways away from them. So.
I like to see the footage on Bray Road though. I'd like to see your footage on Bray Road. That's pretty fascinating. It's always really interested. I've been there a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've something.
We can hook up and farm. Then stuff.
We were at Lee Hample's farm when we did this. Okay. And I'm not the first one, and Mark and I aren't the first ones, but it has been called, and I believe it. They call it like the Skinwalker Ranch of Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's all the stuff.
There's a lot of shit going on Lee's farm.
Have you met Lee, Chris?
Have you ever met Lee? If you ever meet Lee, man, you talk to him, he is very credible. I mean, this guy's, was he? A math
He's professor. A retired math professor.
Professor.
Well.
Okay, the guy's extremely intelligent and stuff like this, but he didn't buy the property for, he had no idea about the Beast of Bray Road or any of it until after.
He didn't buy it for that. He bought it for hay.
Hay so that he could feed it to his horses back in Illinois where he lives.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah, they board horses.
He started hearing the stories, or somebody told him, what was it? Somebody told him, you know about the Beast of Bray Road? And he's like, what? And he ended up, after he heard about it, he started putting up trail cams.
Well, actually, Joe, after he heard about it, he actually seen it.
Yeah.
He seen what he believed was the beast.
Right. But
near his farm.
Just the so-called Beast of Bray Road going on there.
Yeah. So he put up trail cams, and boy, he's been catching some just... Very interesting,
really
off-the-wall kind of stuff.
Pictures, unidentified flying objects in the sky, and they're pretty impressive.
I actually got some impressive pictures that his camera took that he let us have for part of our stuff. There's some more pictures I want to get from him. There's one in particular I want to get that shows a deer carcass, and it's got, originally when you first look at it, you think it's the bones from the rear leg, but if you examine it a little closer, it's not. It's a type of bone, like a femur type bone, but it's stuck inside the deer, and you can catch the edge of what looks to be a tool on the end of it, okay. like a cutting tool. And I want to get that picture from him, too.
Yeah, and then there's one that kind of looks like the shadow of what could be a Bigfoot.
Yeah, we have that one.
Trail cam pictures.
We have some of his trail cam pictures. They're intriguing.
Then there's one that kind of looks like a flying dragon or lizard or snake or something in the sky. It doesn't look like any type of bird that's you know, indigenous to Wisconsin.
Oh, do you guys remember all the Mothman sightings down at O'Hare right around the start of
yeah,
the
I heard,
yeah,
I heard.
Yeah, we heard about those.
Yeah. That's interesting, and then all of a sudden they just stop. We don't have any more Mothman sightings.
You know, Dale was telling me a lot of those were hoaxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that O'Hare has massive video surveillance, so somebody must have caught. So if there was something going on, they caught it on video. They must have.
I don't know. I do know that some of it down in that area was not actually true. Mm-hmm. You know, the over. Somebody went. Telling me about some of those Mothman sightings, but he said there are a few of them that are legit from the airport. You know, but you know, it's also government property too. You know, so you never know; they could be covering it up.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know that with Homeland Security has that whole ground
sightings anymore because you know we did a thing. Oh, what was that? A couple of years ago, before we started having guests, we did a thing on the Men in Black. You know, and say that they don't exist and they don't do things to cover that kind of stuff up. You know, it's highly possible.
Right.
You know, I mean, if they're going to cover that shit up, they got to have somebody to help them cover it up. Because that's a lot
I agree.
lot of witnesses to kind of say, shut the fuck up or else, you know, a lot of newspapers say, you know, go and say, no, this, you're going to print this as a redaction to that story, you know. You know, they got to do, they got to have the people to do that and have the influence to go around and do that.
Yeah.
And be able to keep it secret. I mean, with all the different secret societies and secret governments, who should say there ain't something, you know, who knows? I believe it. I believe it's there. You know, it's probably a good reason why we haven't had any visitors yet that, that's been a big news thing. You know, yeah. All of a sudden, you know, the aliens from such and such a planet have decided to visit us for having these talks at the White House. You know, I mean, not to say that, you know, how it happened, but, you know, it's just an example of, you know, if it truly would happen, to go something like that, you all would be new. You know, but yet all these people are witnessing this stuff every day. UFOs all over the world. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, people are witnessing it. Are you going to tell me that millions and millions of people are loony and seeing things?
Right. Yeah, I said that before. There's so many sightings that people have seen, so many things that people have seen. Is everybody wrong? Is everybody crazy?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't.
Definitely not. There's something there that people are seeing. Are there people making things up? Absolutely. Are there hoaxes? Yeah, no question about it. But there's also people out there that are really seeing
things. There's some pretty credible people out there and some pretty credible stories out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of hoaxes out there, and some of them are easily... You know, you can see if something's photoshopped or just, you know, something to figure it out. But especially after doing this for a short time, spot something and stuff. But I believe a lot of it's true because some of these stories are just too similar, and they're from, these people don't even know each other, and they're from two different time zones away, you know, or countries away. You know,
those are normally the most credible stories you can get.
Like this, and you got them out there talking about Bigfoot in Russia. Over here in Australia, they got the same thing, you know. And now you got them all over the United States. You know, Japan's got their own version. You know, everybody got their own version, but it's all got the same common tall, hairy, ape-type man figure.
Yep. Bigfoot is seen all over the world. All over the world.
Right.
Got to be something. I mean, how many species of animals are we discovering almost every day? You know, still finding new species.
Yeah, we're still finding new species of animals and even insects.
Or
but we're also losing a lot of
them, sure.
And we're also losing a lot of species too.
Yeah, but there's some extinct ones washing up on shore that were believed to be extinct. Thousands and thousands of years ago, that was killed maybe a week ago.
Yeah, yep. one of the creatures from the sea that they thought was extinct, that they found it off the coast of Japan, was the coelacanth. You know, that one was thought to be extinct because nobody had ever seen one in over 100 years, and then all of a sudden, a fisherman pulls it up out of the ocean live and kick it. You know. But with the fact that
impossible.
Well, with the fact that we've only explored about 15% of our oceans right now.
I was just
going to
say that. Yeah, we've explored such a small world.
Yes, we know more about our solar system than we do about our freaking ocean, our planet itself. We've got cave systems that run underneath the United States and Brazil or South America and the European nations. There are actual natural cave systems that we haven't even explored a fraction of them. Mm-hmm. You know, what's to say what the hell lives down there? You know?
And then think about some of the dense forest areas that man can't get through. You know, there's some pretty dense forest areas. You know, you get up into Washington, where the
most unfortunately, give it a few years, the Amazon's not going to be there anymore.
Right? Yeah.
You know, we need to quit killing ourselves for one. And I think some of these species are showing up trying to get us to quit killing ourselves.
Oh, well, you gotta, the government's got to try to stop covering up some of this stuff, too.
Yeah, that's one of the theories about alien visitation. You know, in the 40s, alien visitation really picked up after we invented the nuclear bomb. You know, that's when we really started to
see the
alien.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the funny part, you know. They show up after man learns how to split the atom.
Coincidence? Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, here's something for you.
All that population of sightings go way up.
Yep. Here's something for you, though. This is from a man that used to be in the Navy. He was an intelligence officer. He said, coincidence takes a hell of a lot of planning.
Yeah, true.
For anything to have to be a coincidence, it takes a hell of a lot of planning. So,
I get comments for that.
If it's a coincidence that we're seeing all these unexplained craft in the sky, then we're, you know, how was it planned?
Well, I believe in gifts, you know, I don't believe in
coincidences. Joe, you got to get closer to the mic.
I said, just like Gibbs, I don't believe in coincidences either, you know. I don't.
Well, no, you can't. You know, there he is.
Oh, jeez. The camera just broke. Check that out.
Since you walked up there, the camera went out.
Dr. Pear shows up and the camera goes out.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
You can't hear.
Look at the little scruffy there.
I can't hear nothing. That's fine. I'll just say, hey, guys.
Here, hold on. Ways.
He's starting to look a little scruffy there.
Oh, that's why he couldn't hear us, because you had to hit the head. Said something. Uh-oh.
Now he's muted.
Now you're muted, Chris.
You're muted, Chris.
How about now? There you go.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Ready?
I was going to get that shirt, too.
Although we can't see it. You got to tip the camera down.
Unfold it. All
right, guys, you find that?
We have to get ready for the comedy show. I was going to buy that shirt, but I got too quick. But I've got to sign off. We've got to get ready for filming. Come on down to Jerry's
apartment.
Visit the manor. Guys, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on, Chris. And good to see you again, Tom.
Yep, nice seeing you guys.
Got to holler at you. I want to meet up with you guys.
Yeah, that's Tom. Sounds good.
Yep, Tom from Off the Rails. You guys check his out.
And make sure you check out Chris's podcast on Thursdays.
Thursdays at 7, you bet.
Pop Culture Podcast. It's fun to watch.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, have fun.
Bye, guys.
Later.
We are out of here.